That is. Are we on time?
I believe we are. Look at that. I got the stream up at 4:59 before 5 time this time, so I can't get the they're late after 30 seconds. Not today.
Say earlier. Say early.
Facts. Everyone needs to. What's the word? The
everyone says the apology needs to be loud as loud as the disrespect.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Let me see the early the spam the chat.
That's fucking hilarious, bro. Where first the real eater at?
Facts. First chat I see, Mo, I'm sending every rat to your address right now.
Good luck, buddy. If you're going to, the rat needs to go through a 2-step security process. Right?
That's hilarious. So I said, how long have you all been live? About 15 seconds. You're fresh into it. I'm an eater.
You're good. Hey, yo. Hey,
wow. Yeah. Crazy verbiage you started up for our fan base.
It is what it is. This is where it gets real raw and uncut over here at TE3. The live version.
Yeah, man. As y'all see by the title, today we're going to do a real simple stream. I got a doc full of every news story of everything relevant going on in the league right now. We're going to talk through it, talk through some news, some bullshit, some hot takes. And then at the end of the stream, we're going to react to your hot takes. I made a tweet and I got like 40 tweets bookmarked right now to go through that we're going to, you know, rate the hot takes W or L, as well as go through your guys' chat hot takes to get you guys involved.
Let's go ahead and do it. I am ready to flame some of you watching this stream right now. But before we go ahead and continue with the great live stream that we're about to have, why do y'all think y'all slick? I'm looking at you. I'm talking to you. You hear me talking to you. You haven't liked this stream right now. Why? Weird. Freakazoid. Just like watching grown men yap without supporting us for real. Like the stream. Weird.
Yeah. As always, like the stream if you can. We're at 86 likes right now. 300 of you in here the first few minutes. Let's run that up. Before we really start, I think we should put the ISO cam on Donovan. Don, do you want to explain what you're wearing right now? You got the snuggie going on, a little blanket situation?
Listen, I've worn the blanket on the show. You guys understand, there's one thing about me. I'm going to be cozy. I'm going to be comfortable. And so it's just a big, like a, it's just like a jacket sweater. It's just big and cozy, right?
It's huge. Stand up. It's gigantic. Let me see how long gigantic. It is.
Whoa, man. I didn't have no pants on. I was like, what the fuck? No.
You look like a girlfriend wearing your boyfriend's hoodie.
Listen. I wear 5-inch shorts. This thing is clearly not built for that. I don't wear this outside the house. Daddy shorts. Right? I wasn't planning on standing up today, but once again, here I am doing something that I wasn't planning on doing. Right? Let's talk basketball. Let's move past it. Right? Let's do that.
All right, man. First news story of the day. As you guys have known, if you've paid attention to the just world at large over the last 2 days, LeBron James has now scored 40,000 points.
Damn!
A record that may never be passed. It was thought to be unreachable. He has finally done it. What has y'all's thoughts been since this happened? Because, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, oh, you know, furthers the GOAT status, another unbreakable record. People were like, oh, can any of these young guys reach it? Like, you know, there's just been a lot of discourse in the world around this.
Mo, I don't know what you think, man.
Mo, no, I'm going with you first.
Me? GOAT. That's all I'm going to say, man. GOAT. This is all I can say. I remember back in maybe 2018, I forget what record you passed. You probably broke some like, oh, first to score 30,000 points by X amount or 35,000 points or whatever. A lot of people were like, hold on a second. Could this guy be the first one to ever hit 40,000 points? Is that a possibility? I remember B-Souls back in 2018. I think he made a certain video about that, and it did really well. And the thought of him surpassing that is absolutely asinine. And like, what's even crazier is that like he has so much more to go. Like, he could retire with like 45,000 points. Who?
Yeah, that's a crazy part.
At this point in time, because he's like still, he's not peak LeBron, obviously, but he hasn't fallen off quite a bit at all.
Yeah, exactly. It's the longevity is obviously ridiculous. It's unmatched. This tweet I pulled up, Larry Bird and Magic Johnson combined weren't even at 40,000. That's ridiculous. Oh my God, that's absurd. Obviously, there's contextual part of that. It's a generation that they grew up in. You know, sports science has come a long way. Those guys had specific reasons, you know, to end their career short. One very different from the other. But it's nuts on paper.
Crazy. That's hilarious. Crazy.
It's interesting, though. It's interesting. I think, honestly, I don't even care about, like, the 40,000. Like it didn't register with me. I feel like, and it's weird because I do want to give LeBron his praise, but this is something that we've kind of, for at least for the last year and a half, it's like he's this many points away. He's going to break it now. Like he's going to do this then. And it's been like a countdown for a lot of these accomplishments. So whenever it happens, we kind of all like recognize what's going on. And I think this weekend I've just been trying to, you know, and I try not to do it at this point, but trying to figure out how I feel about the GOAT debate between him and, and Jordan. That's really what I am thinking about this entire weekend of like, does LeBron having 40,000 points at this stage in his career, does that eclipse, you know, what Jordan is able to do in a smaller amount of time? Like what are you valuing in a GOAT debate? Are you valuing longevity? Are you valuing peak? And when you say this guy's the best ever, when you say that, what comes to your mind? Does the 39-year-old version come to your mind, or does the 27-year-old version come to mind? And how are we like thinking about that? And that's what's been going on in my head.
I think I know what you mean. It's definitely how much do you value it compared to the other? It's definitely a conversation. For me, you know, there's three guys at the top of the NBA all-time list. Whoever your Mount Rushmore is, it includes three guys: LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Kareem. In whatever order you want, those are solidified top three. Kareem is because longevity. Mike is because peak. And LeBron just has both now. So, you know, like, whether pick your poison, both are there. All-time talent, as good as anybody ever, and the best longevity ever. Like, it's going to be hard in 15 years to look back and not have, a near solid GOAT case.
Is that your top three as well, Donovan?
I hope so.
Yeah, it is. It is my top three.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah, obviously, like, all of this is just objective, and it depends on what you value. There's no, like, clear case, like, oh, greatest of all time. It's just what matters to you the most. And the combination of all those things, the consistency, for how long he's been doing it, the peak, which is, like, in my opinion, the greatest player that's ever been alive. All those things matter. And also, like, I take into consideration, like, the context of things and how things really were for you at that point in time. Like, all those points that he was scoring back in the day when, like, four people were in the paint at once and only, like, maybe one or two players of max could shoot on the basketball court, it's insanity. So it's like...
The funny part is you say back in the day, and I'm like, why are we saying back in the day like he's ancient? But it was 20 years ago. It's a long time, especially in NBA years. That's ancient, when the past 10 years have been the greatest X's and O's schematic advancement in NBA history. It's really changed the game. It's like before and after three-point revolution are like distinct eras of history. So I say like, oh, what do you mean? He's not that old. He's still playing. 20 years ago is a long time. Like the fact that he's played through those stark different eras is ridiculous. And won championships in both eras. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I'm not trying to start anything. I'm really not. Yeah. It's hard for me.
Let's have it now.
What do you want to do? It's interesting because nobody else is like even for Kareem, and I guess it's a little bit different now that LeBron has kind of like set a quote unquote, not even standard, but like been this much of an outlier as a consistency merchant. But
merchant.
but like
good for a long time merchant.
Yeah. But like not a lot of other players who like okay, 20 years is obviously a lot, but even players who play like 14 or 15 are starting to get like overlooked. And that's also not like normal. Being like very good for like 15, 16 years and stuff like that. And there's some players that when it comes to them, they don't necessarily get that credit. And so like Kevin Durant going into year 16, year 17, and still averaging 27, still doing all this. I don't think anybody's going to care about what he's doing at age 34, age 35, right? It's not going to matter in the same way.
And I think it does. I don't know. I mean, one's in a GOAT debate, one's not. So of course we don't talk about KD as much because there's not as much reason to. But, you know,
even
it's still impressive.
Even when you talk about top 15 all time, that's not going to matter. It's not going to matter.
You hate on KD more than the rest of the world does. I think you're speaking for yourself here. Most people would put KD top 15 pretty easily, and I think this will be another reason to solidify that.
I'm saying top 15, whatever, like, range that you have him in, if, like, KD being as good as he is in whatever year, it's not going to get brought up. And I'm not saying this to, like, you know, not KD or anything. I'm saying like the idea of longevity in that conversation, it doesn't mean a lot for a lot of other players. And then whenever you get to the top, now it's like, okay, here it is.
Well, since those conversations at the top are more like they're both the best of all time. So the difference could be longevity. When you're at like KD versus Giannis, that's less of a talking point, you know? Like it's, there's more things to talk about besides the things you have to split hairs with.
Yeah, I agree. You're just talking about like their strongest talking point. Of course, like everyone should know and realize that longevity is like playing heavy towards KD's way, but it's like a different type of longevity because like he's had hella injuries that's taken him out for 2-3 seasons throughout the totality of his NBA career. So when you think of longevity with him, you don't think of it in like, wow, this dude is like always there type of sense. You think of it like, wow, like he's old and he's still giving me like fucking 30 a night on like great efficiency. It's different levels, but he still has it.
Yeah. Hey man, we can move on to the next topic. Before we do that though, I got three donations to
six rings.
We got three donations to read out before I move on. First donation, Kevin Galicki. If you guys were here last stream, you know this guy has deep pockets. He was running up the donations last stream. He tipped another $10.
Goodness.
He tipped $10. So welcome back to your weekly dose of Celtics glazing. I don't from you maybe, not from us. And then Keep Mo Out the Hood tipped $3. He said, "Yo, I love y'all stuff. I don't know if y'all saw it, but I made a TikTok about y'all. Y'all never fail to put a smile on my face. Keep Mo Out the Hood." Appreciate you. That $3 going straight to his pocket.
We did see it. We did see the video. It was fantastic. Thank you.
And then Anon tipped $10, said y'all are the perfect mix of seriousness and statistics while keeping it lighthearted and funny. Best sports content out there. Shout out to Don for giving real prop bets to my Boston Celtics next week.
degenerate.
And then Pastor Lane Trick Shots tipped $2. There we go. Appreciate y'all.
Shout out to y'all, man.
Next thing we got to talk about. Gilbert Arenas has been wilding out on Twitter a lot, or not on Twitter, on his podcast. He's been on a streak over the last 6 months of like speed running the loss of credibility and like trying his hardest to get the most hot takes out there that'll piss people off for engagement. That's his whole play. He's said it before. It's what he's trying to do. Most of the time, it's whatever. You're just saying like basketball stuff. It's fine. Everyone does it. That's the game. His most recent take, he blames Europeans for bad defense in the NBA. His quote was, "Get rid of all the Europeans," which is crazy.
Trump or what? What the fuck? Holy shit.
I'm sure it's a little bit out of context. I'm sure people were like, "How do you fix defense?" And then he's like, "Get rid of all the Europeans," though. Which is still crazy. Starting ridiculous to say.
Like, that is insane.
He said, "Get out of here." He said, "You go to college to learn defense, I guess. What colleges do Europeans go to? They have no athleticism. They have no speed, no jumping ability. They are a liability on defense. There are 150 Euros in the league today. Name the top defenders. None. Just Rudy Gobert and the Greek Freak." He says none, the names too. "Other than that, they're offensive players." What the fuck is he yapping about? What the fuck is he yapping about, bro?
So I'm assuming he saw this based, like, obviously the scoring surge is crazy and all that shit. Fresh off the All-Star week, and we saw folks score 200 points, which is still crazy. But to go ahead and sit down and be like, "Nah, some goddamn Europeans above all else," is absolutely insane to me. And of course, it's just like, you know, headline hunting right now. And it's kind of nasty. This is the nastiest way to do it. This is by far the nastiest way to do it.
Yeah, and he elaborated on this in the pod. That's ridiculous, right? Before I let you go, Dom, one more thing he said earlier on the pod, I saw like the longer version. He was basically like, the whole NBA's move to offensive play purposely was to open the game up internationally and allow the Euros to come. Because when they first came in the 90s, things were too physical for them. They couldn't handle it. They got bitched around, and Adam Silver had to make it so they could come in and survive. Or I guess David Stern. All of it from the top down is fucking idiotic. What do you think, Donovan?
I think, listen, bro's wildin'. Like, there's just really no other way to put it. And it's just it's a old narrative, right? Like, people 10 years ago were like, "Oh, Europeans are soft. They don't do this. They don't do that," right? So, one, it's old. Two, it's racist and, you know, xenophobic to just be like, yeah, all these Europeans. I'm surprised that when he said the top defenders, that he even said, you know, Gobert and Greek Freak. Because a lot of the stuff that he was talking about, a lot of times whenever people are like, "Oh, they're not athletic, they don't play defense, they're just here to play offense," a lot of times people are just talking about white players.
Yeah.
Right? Whenever that happens. So I'm surprised that he named those guys. But no, it's, it and Isaac, you said it. He does this and purposely. And he's openly talked about the way that like that he constructs his takes and the things that he says. And he just got us, right? Like we fell right into his trap because it's because the take honestly isn't anything that we should give more attention to because it's just not true.
100%. Normally I'm with it and I'm like, yeah, it's whatever. No, everyone, the game, the name of the game is get attention, say hot takes, mm-hmm. It's media. Every we do it to an extent. I don't say bullshit like this, but sometimes I know I'm getting a reaction, so I'll lean harder into a hot take than I really feel, like, you know, just for content. That's well and good. Everyone does it. But stupid shit like this is just like an abuse of a platform and just all the wrong ways to use a platform you built where you have immense numbers. I don't know if y'all have seen. His channel was fucking popping. He is huge right now. He's going berserk. And to just say some stupid shit like this that's just regressive and, like you said, xenophobic. And just not even on like a moral way of being xenophobic, but in just a basketball way, it's unhelpful to discourse. And in an era that has so many unhelpful things being added to discourse on the internet, him just adding fuel to that fire with a new brain dead way of thinking about the game is just ridiculous.
What it is just like to sum up all that. That is just damaging to say. Like he's done so much damage to the basketball community, and also like in my opinion, his reputation in terms of like how legitimate of a source and like
exactly
podcasting basketball like dude you can listen to. Because now when I listen to him, I have to like really have a almost of a filter through me and like learn how to take bits and pieces of like some of the real shit that he has to say as a former player. And like spew out 95% of it and just get that like trash.
100%. And that's the annoying part too, because his podcast was good for a long time before the past few months when this really picked up. I thought it was a really good show. And I think you see this a lot in the cycle we talked about before in player media where they come into it and it's like easy, just telling stories and doing stuff. It's awesome. We see the insight from them. But then they realize the NBA calendar is long. There's a lot of space to fill, things to talk about, and they got to pull shit out of their ass. And this comes out because they don't know what else to say.
Yep. And then you end up 2 weeks after the All-Star break with nothing to talk about. And you're like, hey, man, these Europeans are wilding. They're killing the game. It's like, hey, man, you got to plan out your content. You have to think ahead. Exactly. That's what you have to do.
These goddamn Euros. Euros. It's so funny.
That is crazy as fuck. And I can name so many European players who are like elite top defenders in the NBA today. Fucking Porzingis, he helps the Celtics defense hella. We didn't mention Wemby. Fucking Denny Avdija is elite, bro. Fucking Maxi Kleber makes a difference on the Dallas Mavericks. What's his name? Portland Trailblazers. Matisse Thybulle makes a fucking difference, bro. I can go on. There's so many good Euro defenders. God, bro.
Wait, Matisse is European?
Matisse is Australian.
Yeah. Oh, Australian. Yeah, there we go.
Okay. Anyways, we move on to the next thing. We got some donations to read out. Let me scroll down to where we left off. Oh my God, we missed a Kevin Galicki bomb. He donated $40. Again, this guy is breaded, y'all. Breaded. Kevin Galicki is breaded. This is ridiculous. He said, Isaac and Donovan, I want to up your locker room bet. Loser of your bet has to wear a jersey from their least favorite team for a stream. Donovan has to wear a Clippers jersey. Isaac has to wear a Celtics jersey. I'll supply the jersey.
I'll supply the jersey.
Okay.
It's a chat sugar daddy.
If I don't have to buy the jersey, yeah, I'm down with it.
Listen, I'm happy that Kevin included y'all two in that bitch because no one is fucking with me when it comes to a jersey off, bitch. Who's fucking with me right now? You know what this is? I don't know. Isaac's seen this before. Look at this. Donovan, you know whose jersey this is? Jared Culver. Can't fuck with me, man. This is real deal hoop shit right here.
You're gross.
Real deal hoop shit right here.
Disgusting, bro.
Disgusting. It's a classic. What do you know about that shit?
Shout out to Danny D. Alcantor for donating $5. Appreciate you. Elena, but on the West Coast, tip $3. Appreciate you. And Gavin donated $1. Appreciate you, man. He said, just so y'all know, as soon as I put on my TU3 hoodie, I instantly made my basketball team. Every female came crawling, and I found a $20 bill in it. Y'all eaters should invest.
Y'all eaters should invest. Look, I ain't gonna lie to you. That sounds like an elite experience. And if I was y'all, I would tap in like a mug. It's
still hot. TU3 merch. In the description of the video, I think. Momo tip $5. Appreciate you. Ashton Johnson $5. And Sober Bob 559 $5. Appreciate you all. On to the next topic. Victor Wembanyama is going ridiculous. He's continuing to get better and better. And the numbers just continue to pile up. You know, he had a signature win against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Him versus Chet, they dueled. Had that a few days ago. And then, I believe yesterday, he dropped 31, 12, 6-6. He is continuing to go absolutely ridiculous every time he touches the court. And I want to say all this because I saw this tweet from Jackson Frank where he said, there's a legitimate chance that Wemby is the first rookie since Tim Duncan to make All-NBA and an All-Defensive team. How do y'all feel about this idea?
He's not making All-NBA. I love it. I love the support for him and everyone realizing that, like, damn, he's already one of the best. He's already better than, like, 85 to fucking, I don't want to say 90 just yet, but 85% of the NBA for sure, guaranteed. I'm not even thinking about the math in my head. But All-NBA for the entirety season, slow down just a little bit.
It's crazy, but okay, so it's positionless now, so it's harder. Probably not. If it wasn't positionless, I don't think it'd be as crazy as you think.
Yeah, exactly. That's my main thing. Like, there's so many wings and guards and shit like that that deserve the spot over him this year. But if it was like 2015 type shit, 2016, 2018 type shit, oh yeah, he's easily making that.
Yeah, his Why case not? Was that if he continues to play, he's not? Been on for the last 2 months. If he did that for the next, you know, 2 more months of the season, averaging 23-10-4-4-1, ridiculous, on 61% true shooting, that's clearly the pace of an All-NBA player. Like, if he did that for an entire season, he would be there. So that would probably, you know, that net amount to like 22-10-4-3 or whatever. With the obviously a top 3-5 defensive player in the league already, obviously team success isn't there, but as an individual, that's not crazy.
Again. Why not? Why not? let's go ahead and do it. There is very, very clear that on a night-to-night basis, especially at this point, now that it's starting to, like, we've seen the progression of, like, a play happens here, and then, like, a quarter happens, and now it's not only a game that we're seeing where Wemby's going crazy. We've seen him do it for weeks, for months, and all of us are looking at it like, yeah, this guy's great. Like, there's no doubt in anybody's mind that Wemby is fantastic at what he does. And the only question is, are we going to penalize him for two things? Are we going to penalize him for being 19, 20 years old? And are we going to penalize him for the rest of his team sucking? Because if he was anywhere else, right, even if he was in Washington, right, they'd probably win a couple more games and they'd Damn. Be okay. Wemby should be all NBA. He's Ooh, been wow. one of he's been one of the 15 best players in the league this year.
Chad, you're standing on that.
I'm serious. I'm so, if he finishes the season the way he has the last 2 months, he will have one of the 15 best seasons in the league this year.
Chad, what do y'all think? I started a poll. Spam what you think, Chad. How do you feel about that, Mo? Because I know you were the one that was standing against it. You said for a whole season, no. I guess the question there is, how much does team success matter to you in all NBA conversations?
I'll play into, okay, so real quick, team success, like, it has to matter just a little bit. You can't be, like, one of the 3 or 4 worst teams in the NBA and get that nod just yet. If he was one of the 4 or 5 worst teams, sure, fuck it. We've seen it plenty of times before. But 12, 13 wins on the season? Come on! Terrible. You know what I'm saying? Now, a lot of that doesn't have to do with him. I would say almost, I don't want to say almost all of it, because, yeah, he did start off as a rookie here and there. But I just personally wouldn't give him that nod, because I need to see a little bit more on the wins-loss column. And also on top of that, you know, like, he hasn't been what you said over the past two months for the entirety of the season.
Yeah, it's been amazing. It nets out pretty close, though. Like, it nets out not too bad. I guess, okay, so we have to talk about this, if we're being real, by thinking about who would be kicking off the teams, right? First team, like, if we go by it, Shea and Luka are the guards. Tatum, Giannis, Jokic as the forwards. Just throw it out there.
Okay. Yeah.
Second team, who are we going with? Curry, D. Mitch? Or who am I thinking of? Curry, Brunson?
Curry.
Actually, Brunson, D. Mitch. Curry can be third team. It doesn't matter. Let's go position by position. Curry, Brunson, D. Mitch. Who's the last guard? Tyrese Maxey?
Booker.
Maxey or Halliburton?
Booker.
Is he going to miss?
I think so. Let's just say Maxey. Yeah, the guards don't fucking matter. Oh, shit, I forgot. It's positionless. My bad. Never mind.
Ooh, okay, yeah, hold on. You're right,
y'all, we got to pull up a Google Doc, y'all. Let's get to brass tacks. We're going to talk about this because we got to go by every single player in the league since there's no longer positions.
Positionless is crazy. That I just can't get with that vision just yet.
Okay, yeah, let's...
Can't get with that vision.
Let's get this down. First team, we have... who did I say again? Okay, Shea.
So Shea, Luka, Tatum, Giannis, and Jokic. Doesn't matter. They're just going to be first team.
Yeah, that's fine. Second team. Who are the locks? Bron is obviously making second team.
Yes. Just being AD? Real.
Yeah, Davis Plumbing second team. Who else is the MVP conversation that we're forgetting about?
MVP conversation?
Kawhi might make second team. Luka.
Yeah, Kawhi's definitely making it for sure.
I got to look at the standings. Thunder, nobody else in the Thunder. Timberwolves. Oh, what? Anthony Edwards make second team maybe?
Ooh, I didn't even think about that.
Okay.
Let's pencil Ant and Curry into third team, I think.
Okay.
Okay.
KD so has to make a team as well.
Durant second team for sure.
Yeah.
Let me look at the East.
Damn, nobody East else trash. In Celtics. Runs to the West.
Oh, D. Mitch is probably going to be on there for sure.
Easily.
Okay, so that's second team. We have three spots left in third team. Chat, who are y'all? Embiid's not going to play enough games, chat. I see Halliburton. Halliburton's been playing really bad the past month since he got hurt, so he's probably going to lose it. Maxey has a better chance over Halliburton, I think. We're going Brunson. Two spots left in 13.
Safe pick.
We'll go Brunson.
Got so two spots left. There's Booker. There's Sabonis. Does Sabonis have a better chance than Wemby?
There's Booker.
How I feel about Sabonis.
I understand. I think last season, yes. If you are talking about a team that right now, and let me pull up the standings, the Kings are sixth. And they're fine. They're okay. But this guy wasn't even an all-star like that. So we're okay. But so, like there's no respect, quote unquote respect that we have to pencil in for Sabonis.
Okay. People are saying Booker. I think Booker's that's fair. People are Booker saying Bam. Yeah. Bam Booker, versus Bam Wemby. Okay, so last spot, there's Booker, who? There's Brown. Are you saying Brown, Jaylen Brown?
Yeah.
I don't think so, but I get it.
I'm going to tell you right now. If it comes down, my vote, if it was between Jaylen Brown and Wemby, I'm giving it to Wemby. Bro, so since, this the, last spot, since the new year, right? Last 27 games, 23, 10, 4, 4, and 1.5 steals on 50% from the field and 38% from three. And easily one of, and obviously the steals and blocks show it, but easily one of the most impactful defenders in the league. This guy is ridiculous. He's crazy. Only let one him spot do left, it for though. Two more months. Let him do it for two more months.
I think the team success will probably come to kill him, and he probably won't make it. But it's not crazy if he did. Like, I understand it. Like, it's just only there's one spot left, and we need a lot of guys. Like, Tyrese Maxey is averaging 26. He's been the team's 5-4 since Joel Embiid got hurt. He's really carrying the load.
Max is getting in, bro.
Bam Adebayo, Tyrese Halliburton, even though he's fallen off the past month, is still having a good season. Okay, Wemby's probably not going to make it, but he's in the conversation.
And the only thing keeping him is the mother bums that he's playing with. but if we're just being real, listen, again, I want to see what this looks like for you guys after another 6 weeks and every 2 days. Oh, wow. Mo, Rats got to Mo.
I keep going. We're good.
But every 2 days, when I send a tweet or you send a tweet into the group chat on some, yo, Wemby's crazy. Yeah, he's top 15 already. Yeah, this is going down. It's happening right here. It happens on a nightly basis. Every time he plays, something happens that you've never seen before. And I don't think that we should go blind to it.
Yeah, I agree. Again, at the end of the day, voters are going to care about the wins. But if they didn't, he was clearly a top 15 player in terms of pure ability. We'll see how it shakes out. I'm not holding my breath, though.
So right now, I'm looking at NBA players. Who are the worst NBA or the best NBA players to make all NBA team with the worst teams? And someone named Neil Johnson made an all-NBA team with a record of 12-57 back in 1952.
Yeah, and well, that's 1952.
Exactly. Fuck 1952. Exactly. Listen, so
precedents outside of are that, made to be broken.
Someone, Tracy McGrady, he hit 19 games back in 2003-2004. Wemby, I don't know if it's safe if the Spurs can go ahead and win, what, six more games. I don't know if that's safe.
That's not safe at all. That's hilarious.
Just can't happen.
All right, chat. We're at 800 viewers right now, 336 likes. Need y'all to run that up for us. While you all take a second to like the stream, before we move on to the next topic, I got some donos to read out. Will Ayers, another guy who was having the ban for ban runoff last week, donated $20. He said, I play on the Spurs, and I see Wemby do crazier stuff in real life. Donovan has the nod for me. Love the stream. Don't know what that means, Will, but appreciate you.
Wait, you play on the Spurs?
I'm assuming he says he, like, watched the Spurs, and he's a fan of them or some shit like that.
He said, I play on the Spurs. He's obviously joking.
A ball boy?
Could you imagine? That'd be hilarious.
If I was a ball boy, I would take him on his team, too.
men's league on a Tuesday night. He got the Spurs jersey on.
Shout out to KG for tipping $3. Shout out to Mr. Raffle Shark 27 for donating $1. Momo tipped $3. And Kevin Glicky donated another $20 a few seconds ago. He said, Mo, I want to give you your props. At the preseason predictions episode, you said Kristaps was going to cook in Boston. And my brother, you were right. There you go. Good job, Mo.
Yeah, it's been absolutely cooking. It's a white man thing. I understand.
All right, chat. Y'all have 387 likes. Run up the 400 for me real quick. Next thing we're going to talk about. The Boston Celtics blew the Warriors back out the other day. Or I think it was yesterday. Won by 50. It was, you know, just a quintessential Sunday matinee back blowoutness. I said that word wrong. Anyways, after the game, Steph Curry said, that's what we used to do to teams. He was reminiscing on the fact that he used to be on the other side of that, and now he's the one getting his back blown out. How the mighty have fallen. How did y'all feel about this game?
Good God. Listen, to be honest with you, I didn't even watch the entirety of that game, bro. I just saw, like, after the back was blown out, I just saw, like, whatever was left. And I'm like, damn. I got the Bleacher Report notification talking about, I don't even know what the halftime score was, like 39-83 or some crazy shit like that. I was like, oh my goodness, how so? And I look at this and I remember, like, oh yeah, like the Warriors, like over the last 16 games, I think they've been like 13-3 or something of that nature before this game. But game before that, I think they played the Toronto Raptors and they barely fucking won. And Curry again has been like struggling slightly just a little bit over the last 2-3 games or whatever. And I see it, I'm like, okay, I'm not gonna hold too much weight into it. But the Celtics are elite, and they're proving that.
Yeah, man, they're insane. The Warriors, I mean, I just made a video about it on my channel. They've been really good lately after they started starting Draymond as full-time center and moving away from the lineups with Kevon Looney to make their spacing better. Kuminga's been better. Pajemski's been starting over Klay Thompson. That's worked out well. Their bench lineups really have an identity now with Klay there and Chris Paul just coming back. Like, you start to see a team that makes sense and not just like somebody floundering to do anything offensively and defensively. But even them being better and being more of a competent team, they don't got shit on the Celtics, who are just a league above everybody right now.
That's what's happened, man. Oh my goodness. That's magic. You heard that Young Nudie song? Oh my God. Oh, Zach. Oh my God.
This is what happens when a play-in team faces the best team in the league at home on a Sunday early in the day. Blowouts happen in this type of situation all the time. And listen, there's a clear cut between the top of the league and the next tier, and then the next tier is where the Warriors are. That type of stuff happens.
Yeah, this game let me know, though. The Celtics are ready. They're ready. They went through, like, their little lull, and everyone, like, they didn't seem as sharp or as crisp as everybody thought they were. Then they're like, okay, all-star break, let's start ramping it up, right? They won 11 straight. They win by 50 at home. They're ready for the playoffs, and this is exactly what you want to see, because this is the thought that they had coming into the season, where it doesn't matter who's on the bench, because by the time that people go to the bench, we're going to be up by 15-20 anyways, because we have the best starting five, right? And even when you do go to the bench, we have the best bench player in the game, right? We have the best top six. They are going to win off of talent and a lot of their flaws. Hopefully, they never get to the point where their flaws are in position to be exposed, which is, you know, late game playmaking, some of the decision making, the shot selection. A good solution, somebody could say, yeah, let's go get a point guard. The Celtics are like, let's just be up by more, but you know, whenever the fourth quarter comes. And this game was a perfect example of that. So they're good.
I'm at the point now. Okay, earlier in the season, there's an episode, maybe like 5 episodes ago, where I was telling people, I think I said on a stream too, I'm like soft launching and taking my head, where I was like, I feel like the Celtics are a little more vulnerable than people are thinking. And there's certain teams I think have a chance to beat them in a playoff setting, but I got to think about it more. I was like putting the take out there, like, I think soon I'll have an opinion about the Celtics not quite being this unbeatable force you might think they are. Time developed. The Bucks just continue to shit their pants. Granted, they've been better recently. Joel Embiid's legs fell off. The Cavs are just the Cavs. You know, we're going to believe them like that. I can't even, like, pretend there's any team that can touch them now. Like, I don't think the Celtics are perfect, but no team is in their stratosphere right now. There's no competition. Unless the Bucks get it together in the perfect time leading into the playoffs, Dame finds his 2022 Dame mojo back. Unless something, everything goes right for them, nobody in this conference is touching them. Chat, who do y'all think has a chance to beat them?
Oh, my God.
Please, let me know.
There's two teams.
What is
there
that
is a fully healthy Knicks team, and there is a.
Oh my God!
And I'm being serious. Like that's the only team that could like kind of like push them, make life difficult. So that, and who knows if we're ever going to see that lineup, and two, playoff Jimmy Butler and the Miami Heat at full strength. Those are the only two ways that the Celtics can be messed with.
Yep. It's so funny because on paper and everything that's like logical would make you think this team would beat the living snot out of the Miami Heat, but you can't bet against the Heat ever anymore. Like from what they've proven, like they just had, like we say it every time, voodoo magic is in their hands. They know how to get it done. They have the Celtics number. You can never count them out. But by any logical reason, there's no reason to think they're gonna win.
It just doesn't make sense at all, dude. Over the weekend, I think I tweeted out some troll shit. I was like, thank God for Wemby because Jason Tatum almost became the face of the league. Trolling or whatever, you know. And me personally, I see Jason Tatum and I'm like, yo, like this dude is elite, 25. He's like, what, 25, 20? I don't even think he's 26 just yet. Yeah, he's 25. One of the best, a lot of people think five best players in the world. I think he's like top six, seven or whatever. It doesn't really matter. Just know he's fucking elite. If I see him go ahead and fail again, I would be also surprisingly one of the first people to come to his defense and be like, he's only 25 years old. If all this collapses again, who cares? There's still plenty of time left on the board. Of course, it'll be a
I disagree with that. I disagree with that.
I disagree so heavily with that take.
If they don't win this year, they fucking never will. This is the best team in recent NBA history from the Eastern Conference. I'll say that. This team is head and shoulders above anything we've ever seen from them. If they can't win with this against this competition out East, they will never do it. I promise.
Bro,
the I wouldn't Boston say best team in recent NBA history.
The Boston Celtics. Eastern
Conference. Definitely not.
The last
2019 Raptors would blow their backs out. Are you kidding me?
No, they wouldn't. This Celtics team is good.
No,
the Raptors would blow their backs out.
Kyle Lowry and Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, Marcus Saul. They had so many weapons. Norman Powell was there.
I don't got a list of top six on this team. Again, it's easy to say that when you saw them win a championship, and we haven't seen the playoffs of this team yet. So there's that the winning bias there, but we know they won. On paper, this team is just as good. Whether they'll get it done, who knows? But this team is ridiculously dominant.
A little bit crazy, but I understand what you're saying. It's just not like as like transcendent as in my mind compared to like that Raptors team. But
all we can compare it to is regular season.
Isaac is right though. The only reason why you're saying that is because the Celtics haven't won yet, right? For the last 7 years, they've been in the conference finals. What is it? It's since 2016, 2017, that Isaiah Thomas.
I think it's four times.
Conference finals. Conference finals, they lost in the finals, then they lost in the conference finals. They've been to the conference finals five times in the last 7 years, right? If they won one of those championships, if they won one of those years, you would look at them right now and say, Tatum and Brown and Horford, they have championship pedigree. They know how to get it done. They're just trying to get back, right? They finally retooled. This team is good. They have a fatal flaw, and it seems like whether if it's Jaylen Brown going left or you know, shot selection at the end of the games, there's always something that happens. If they can get over that, we will look back at one of these, at this Celtic team, and be like, this is the team that was good enough to finally get over the hump. They put all the pieces together. This is exactly what we've been waiting for from Jason Tatum, who has been a part of like four of those runs. Like, I don't care if he's 25. He has mad playoff experience. He has mad regular season experience. The excuses are up. The time to wait is up for Jason Tatum and the Celtics.
Yeah.
That time's not here.
I don't even care about the previous runs. All we can think about with this team is regular season, because that's all they've done so far. You know, this is the first year they're together. We haven't seen them in a playoff setting yet. So it's not really fair to say they're worse than teams that won the championship. Like, yeah, we've seen them win it. But this is one of the most dominant regular season teams of all time since adding Jrue Holiday and Kristaps Porzingis. Like, without competition over the last 5 to 7 years, they're on pace to be ridiculous. Obviously, we have plenty of reasons to doubt them come playoff time, but just regular season, again, if you can't win with this team, you're not going to fucking win. It's going to be this is the best spot Jason Tatum's ever been in by far.
Watch them never lose a game for the rest of the season.
I wouldn't be that shocked.
Oh my gosh. And while y'all say it at the same time, they somehow learn and they somehow be able to fumble against the Miami Heat in the goddamn second round, bro.
I understand it.
I sit here and I just sometimes feel bad for Jason Tatum. Like, at the same time, I'm like, oh, boo hoo, you came into like one of the most successful organizations in the goddamn league, one of the best front offices by far. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, damn, bro, you're over here doing what you're supposed to be doing, you develop and all that. Obviously, there's certain aspects of his game that, you know what I'm saying, will take the Celtics generally over the top. But he just around a ton of greatness, and this is what happens when those expectations settle upon your shoulders. It doesn't, like, people like Isaac and Donovan and me to a certain degree do not care. You know what I'm saying? It's all about getting it done at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It sucks.
And we move on to the next topic. We got some donuts to read out. Will Ayer donated another $20. He said, definitely not in the NBA, but a big fan of 2K. Would love to see Isaac drop some content. Well, good thing for you. There's this whole channel here with my name on it that has content on it. So if you want to see content from me, go ahead and type my name into YouTube. You'll see this right here. Perfect timing.
Beautiful. What was your last episode, Isaac?
I talked about the Warriors being back and how they fixed their season. And then they promptly decided to get blown out by 50 points on national television. Real great timing for me.
Educational. Fantastic. Motivational and also entertaining. Crown Eaters, tap in. I tap in if I were you.
Kevin Galicki donated another $10. Appreciate you. Sober Bob 559, $3. As far, $1. Appreciate all y'all.
We can't just speed pass by what Kevin just said earlier. It was like, oh yeah, I'm on the team. And he's like, no, I'm on the Spurs. Like, that's crazy.
I'm on 2K.
Like, that's crazy as hell to say.
Will is donating another $20. He said, also, y'all like to paint Donovan as a hater, but we see the big sweater and positivity. Stay warm.
There we go.
Listen, he can be a hater and wear a big sweater. Both can be true. Anyways, next topic. The Oklahoma City Thunder are the number one seed in the Western Conference, y'all. They finally, it's been going back and forth. The top four have been jumbled up for a while, but as of yesterday, they took the spot for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And this tweet by Legion Hoops started a lot of dialogue. They said, give me one reason why this squad won't win it all this year. My one reason why they won't win it all, if there is one, is this white boy standing on the right.
Number three.
Yeah, number three, that's the reason? But what do y'all think? How are you feeling right now about the Thunder's title chances?
Ooh, I mean, listen. There's a couple reasons why you can say historically they are very young, and normally we don't see the younger teams in the league be able to make a run like that. So there's one. Two, like y'all said. Number three, listen, he messes up the game a little bit. So
I'm not gonna lie, he's one of the worst players in the NBA right now. Not exaggerating.
Number three is a problem. And then the third reason is they were like, hey, Bismack Biyombo, please come help us, right? They were calling him because they have a rebounding problem. Because if Chet gets in trouble, teams just getting mad boards on him, and that could be an issue. So those three reasons why I wouldn't pick the Thunder to win the finals.
Speaking of rebounding problem, yesterday, Yusuf Nurkic went ahead and got 30 win rebounds. That's absolutely insane. That's the most random shit to ever happen in like human history on a Sunday, bro. That's just like so uncalled.
On a Sunday.
Yusuf Nurkic got 31 points or 31 rebounds. That's absolutely insane. And in that same exact game, I'm starting to know and just like accept that Yusuf Nurkic, when it comes to guarding non-offensive threats, he's by far the most disrespectful player in the entire NBA to do so. He'll just go ahead and turn around completely. And he did that to who you guys said, number three, Josh Giddey, earlier in the game. He just started walking away. And of course, Josh, you know, missed a wide open three. Who should be surprised by that? And so with all that being said, you know, I think that the OKC Thunder are generally like probably the third worst case scenario, fourth best team in the NBA. The only reason why I think that they look at Yusuf Nurkic, bro. That's so
this
crazy.
Is so crazy.
That's like he got COVID, it's so bro. Crazy.
And the fact that he missed the rebound too is hilarious.
Nah,
it paid off.
Yeah, no. Nah. If he was guarding the ball at his head, I'd be like, guard me, man. Stop playing with me.
Talking about Josh Giddey is so funny because last year it was like, oh, cool. He's this young, interesting player. He's different. He doesn't have a bag, but he gets to the rim. He can pass a little bit. He's fun. I can see him, you know, maybe he could be something. There's potential there. That was cool and all when they were like fighting for a play-in spot and they were a young, frisky team developing. You don't necessarily have to prioritize the playing the best players when you're trying to develop your young talent, see what they can be. Now they are the number one seed, and this motherfucker is a cone on defense, can't shoot. The passing does nothing for you whenever your defender is sitting in the paint. There's no redeeming factors to him right now. He's just straight up negative on both sides of the court. And it's just crazy how different that is when you're a rebuilding team versus a contender. Like, it stands out so much more.
It's a lot less interesting.
The allegations
not interesting at all.
And that quickly made him so not likable. Folks in the beginning of the season were running with his nickname Slob Wizard or whatever. No one cares about that anymore. If you say that alongside his name, you are in dangerous fucking territory and just stop talking to you. So it's a lot easier to hate him as well. So
I love how you mentioned, yeah. So we buried the lead a little bit. Yusuf Nurkic had 31. Kevin Galicki just donated $75. He said, good night, boys. I'm checking out. Got to work at 3 a.m. tomorrow. Probably won't miss next week's stream. I'm going to be in Bora Bora with my lady. Shout out to you, Kevin Galicki. Shout out to you. He's have fun in Bora Bora.
He's breaded.
What a flex.
Chat, spam W Kevin. Let Kevin know we appreciate him. Spam W Kevin for him.
Kevin, I need you here in the next 2 weeks, bro, because I'm trying to go to fucking Bora Bora. God damn it.
Yeah, man. As I was saying, Yusuf Nurkic had 31 rebounds. That's fucking absurd. And of course, it happened against the Oklahoma City Thunder. I think if you had to bet on any team that would give up 31 rebounds, it would be the OKC Thunder. Like, that's not a surprise to anybody, given their lack of size, like Donovan said. But I also don't think it really matters that much, unless they're playing like the Nuggets, which obviously is going to be a problem. But they know this. Mark Daigneault is a very smart coach, and he had this quote yesterday where he said, a lot of nights we lose a rebounding battle, and as long as the benefit continues to outweigh the cost, we're going to continue to accept the trade-offs. We're not going to be a perfect team. At the end of the day, there's more to the game than just rebounding. If we try to solve every problem, then we're going to be trying to chase our shadow. That's a good way to put it, because they know they're small, but they do it because they have lots of shooting, lots of spacing. 1 through 5 can all theoretically set a screen or be the ball handler getting a screen set for them, attack mismatches. It's a style of play that's the reason they're so great. So, you know, there's going to be pros and cons with every roster construction. This is the con that they're deciding to do, right? They ran the numbers. They say rebounding is the best thing we can decide to take a hit on if everything else thrives. And it works well.
Yeah.
See, I get that. And for any other team, I could probably accept this. But for the Oklahoma City Thunder, who have 250 first-round picks over the next 3 years, right, and very, like, mad disposable assets on the roster, you could have fixed this problem, right? You could have fixed it. It doesn't have to be an issue in March. This didn't have to be a thing. And now Nurkic is out here getting 30 rebounds and a bunch of them off of Josh Giddey shots because he doesn't even have to be here.
Well, it was great.
You could have fixed everything.
They won the game. It doesn't matter.
In one move, you could have solved this because you're not talking about it. We're not talking about just a regular season game. That's not what the issue is. The issue is whenever people talk about this is when you get into the playoffs and you start playing teams who are bigger than you. You start playing teams who have advantages on the rebounds, right, on the boards, it can get nasty and it can get ugly real quick if you are not fully prepared. And once again, you didn't have to be this down bad at rebounding. And so that's why I have an issue with it.
It can also get ugly when you have Kat and Gobert running around guarding all these guys. Kat has to guard J-Dub because there's a million ball handlers out there. Like, you know, there's stuff that they make nasty for other people in the same way because this stuff's nasty for them. You know, like, it works both ways.
But you don't have to do that, though.
You do. You can't. Okay, you can't have everything. If you just not a bunch of seven-footers there.
You can.
You can't, though. You can't have five-out offense and be an elite rebounding unless you have Victor Wembanyama, Jaren Jackson, Evan Mobley, the perfect people lined up. It's impossible to do everything well on the basketball court, talent-wise.
Every team's going to have their weakness. Every single team is going to have their weakness. And for OKC, it's just their youth and also, like, physically their size. A team that, like, I compare to in slightly similar light, but in a different stratosphere. Again, because OKC is just like systematically, they're just built different. Like the Cleveland Cavaliers, they got their ass whooped on the boards, but they also put themselves in a chokehold because Jared Allen, not a shooter, of course, and Evan Mobley was far from that as well. OKC doesn't have their issues. I think that the size issues may become like a real issue in the playoffs once they face a team like, of course, the Denver Nuggets, a team that can punish them on the boards and outshoot the fuck out of them. That's when it's like, okay, we might be fucked. You know,
That's the matchup. Everything becomes difficult when you play Nikola Jokic. And that's something we'll probably see them address going into next season when they have more flexibility. You know, it's hard to make big moves at the deadline. Only person we could think of that was available that helped them on the rebounding while maintaining their offensive scheme is Kelly Olynyk. And maybe the deal didn't make sense. You know, maybe he was going to the Raptors regardless. I can imagine they'll try to address this however they can come the offseason.
Yeah. Maybe there's like a big old massive trade that's looming, or a player who might be wanting to be forcing his way out, who's maybe a seamless fit on the OKC Thunder. And
when LeBron leaves, they'll get Anthony Davis to go fit next to Chet. It'll be great.
That will be fucking stout. That would ruin their spacing for sure, but goddamn, that would be ridiculous.
He can shoot better than Josh Giddey, I'll tell you that.
Does he?
At least he has a mitten. I mean, he has something.
Okay. The numbers are skewed because people be leaving Josh Giddey like he got like an insane elite version of COVID, bro. So there you go.
That's fucking crazy. Yeah. All right, we got another thing to talk about. First, some more donations. Momo tipped $15. He said, Donovan oiled up $500K. I need it. Gonna oil up Donovan.
That's not happening.
Oiled up? My brother, this is YouTube. You're on the wrong platform right now.
Facts.
You're sick.
Silva tipped $5. Appreciate you. Blood Wolf tipped $23. Appreciate you. Rosa Parks, $3. Yeah.
Rosa Parks, shout out to you. My people. Last month is your month.
MJ tipped $1. Appreciate you. And Kevin Galicki tipped another $30. He says, should have moved to Boston, Mo, not DC. Not only would I take you anywhere, I'd wire your house for free.
Wire my house for free. Oh, man.
Kevin, I thought you were gone. I thought you were tapping out of the street.
Go to Bora Bora.
I thought you were packing for Bora Bora.
You're not a serious man about your goddamn relationship, man. I respect the hustle of T3 stuff. Let's get real, bro.
And Momo tipped another $3.50. He said, I don't need $15. Trying to be generous. Keep Mo at the hood. And Kevin just whips out his wallet and tells people exactly why he's better than me. They said, now look at your donos, you pocket merchants. Listen, I'm going to get to you. I'm never going to miss your dono. I'm just going to wait until we finish the conversation and then get to it. I got you, Momo. Calm down.
Pocket merchant.
Okay. Next topic. Relax. Scotty Barnes has been fantastic this year. He broke his hand. He's going to be out for the next month or so. And Legion Hoops made this tweet. It says he's the only player in the NBA to lead their teams in all stats this season. Points, rebounds, assists, steals, and blocks. It's ridiculous. Then Dunk Central put out this tweet. One gotta go with Scotty Barnes, Paolo Banchero, Lauri Markkanen, and Zion Williamson. What are y'all's thoughts? Who would you cut out of these four players?
It's either Paolo or Scotty. It's one of those two.
I mean, I know Isaac's going with Paolo, so...
Paolo versus Lauri Markkanen is a little hard. I mean, I love Lauri Markkanen, but he's not like a stone cold lock.
It depends on what context you're talking about. When it comes to like, who would you rather build your team around? I don't know. Like, what context do you guys want to talk about this in? Just
who are you building? Who are you building your team around? Who's if one of these guys was the cornerstone of your franchise? Who's going?
Okay, so do you guys want to do for this year or going forward? That's a different conversation. Starting a team to rebuild right now or just this season, who's better?
Let's do right now. Right now, okay. I'm still taking Zion. He's staying.
Yeah, right. Zion's staying for sure, and I think Scottie Barnes is staying for sure. If it's just right now, I guess Paolo versus Lowry's hard because I would assume if I'm building a team around them, I'm going to have a better roster construction to make Paolo look good than the Magic have. So maybe there's some more oomph that he can give a team than Lowry. But... Lowry's been better this year, I think. Would you agree?
It depends on.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. That's tough.
It's hard because they're two completely different types of players.
No, like, Paolo's a better passer too.
Supposed to be more complimentary, and Paolo is not the complimentary. He is the team, or supposed to be the team. Supposed to run through him. He's the unit. You know, so it's hard. Yeah. It's hard to go ahead and.
I think, like, for me building my team, I always. Like to have, because I think one of the hardest things to find, and obviously like what Lowry does, like off the ball, doing like that's also hard to do that at a high level like he does. But I always value having somebody who can be a number one on ball creator, and if we're starting a team, that means a lot to me. So I would take
your ceiling, for sure.
So I would.
Palo's
so
passing is a big difference here.
So I would. Sorry, Lowry, you've been good, but you got to go.
Lowry's like the perfect number two or three option. If you have another ball handler, you put 7 foot Klay Thompson next to him, you're cooking.
But exactly. Paolo, the thing is, right now, I don't know if Paolo can be the perfect number one. I'm not sure if Scotty can. I 100% know that Zion can be.
Yeah. So it's like, I'll cut Lowry. 100%. If it's just, listen, if it's who you're building your team around long term, Lowry has to go. You know, age, he is who he is. This is his peak, yeah, which is a great fucking peak. But we know Paolo, once he gets better finishing at the rim, the passing continues to improve, which is already really good. The shooting's come around. Once there's more spacing around him and complementary talent, he's going to be a superstar. Scotty, yeah, and Zion, I think, are already like stars, I think. Well, Scotty's on the same level as Paolo.
If this question was like, who would you rather put on your team right now? I think a lot of NBA teams would choose Lowry because he's more of a seamless fit any and everywhere. Paolo, yeah, you have to make some real, like, real differences to your offense. So
people are saying cut Zion. Y'all need to get past the play-in tournament. He is not fat and out of shape anymore. He's been cooking. He's been very good. He's still Zion Williamson, the team that says a lot of people, so they don't need him to score a million points a game.
Ramper Kenny says, Scotty Barnes is so overrated. Boy, you are crazy, man.
He's, oh, if anything, God, he's underrated. People do not give a fuck about the Raptors. Well, let me not say that. His fans are insane, so he's probably not underrated anymore. They roll like the fucking mafia on Twitter. They just got that Brick Muse account out of here. Did y'all see that?
Wait, which one? Really?
Brick Muse? Yeah, he tweeted, no, all the autistic jokes. He tweeted out a picture of, like, he, there's a company that makes t-shirts.
Yeah.
And there was a big t-shirt that's in, like, an old style of, like, a throwback shirt that has a bunch of Scotty Barnes pictures that said autistic. Very lame joke, obviously. That, like, people make the jokes, but this is a major account that tweeted out a link to go buy a t-shirt with it. And the Scotty Barnes Mafia got him the fuck out of here. It was hilarious. They got him suspended. The fucking idiot who runs the account has it on his LinkedIn. And it says, like,
no way! He has it on his, he brought up a Twitter account like that?
Let me see if I can find it, bro. It's hilarious.
No way! He has it on his LinkedIn?
Bro, he's a cornball.
First and last name. Oh my goodness, bro.
Yes, bro. Everyone knows his name now. It's hysterical. I don't know. I can't believe. I gotta find it.
But putting, yeah, your Twitter on your LinkedIn is nuts.
And it's not even just his Twitter. It's that he runs Brick Muse. Like, that's some kind of, like, he, like, it's House of Highlights. Like, he founded, like, the next gen media platform. Like, what a fucking dork.
Congratulations. You are a F tier hater on Twitter. You here are known is by nobody.
Jonathan Assad. He has it. People were putting him out here, which maybe it's a little weird to dox him, but he deserves it because he posted that stupid shit, which is just, like, irresponsible for your platform to be doing that. Brick Muse creator transforming NBA missteps into viral sensations. Innovator in sports entertainment and digital storytelling.
Listen, I think honestly, for the way he was able to frame that on his resume, we should give him his account back. That is elite. That is elite resume writing right there. Right?
This is elite corporate dick writing. This is hysterical. That is fantastic.
You can get a six-figure job off of that. Anybody, if you want to work in social media, copy and paste that. You can, that's get yourself, true, a job.
He thinks speaking he's Omar Raja. This is hilarious. This is ridiculous.
Can you imagine your daughter brings home a guy and you ask, Ma, what do you do for a living, man? I run Brick Muse. How are you, sir?
Oh my God. Shout out to the side. Nice to meet you.
Fucking loser, bro. I might disown my daughter.
Oh my God. That's so corporate gross bullshit, man.
Wait, wait, somebody say he tweeted? Who tweeted? Or
Jonathan Assad tweeted?
So embarrassing.
Yeah, yeah, I say also say Scotty Barnes fans move like the fucking mafia. Tony Soprano, whatever comparison you want to make, he's the fucking godfather, and it's hysterical. They're awesome.
That is sick, bro. Pray for some of y'all.
Next thing I saw, the NBA updated their power rankings. Let me see, what do donations get to first before I move on? Momo tipped another $3.50. Appreciate you. And Nadoc tipped $1. Next thing we got to talk about, Legion Hoops tweeted that the NBA updated their power rankings. I don't know why I credit Legion Hoops, like they made this up or something. But they have the Celtics 1, Nuggets 2, Thunder 3, Clippers 4, Timberwolves 5. How are y'all feeling about this top 5 right now? Is this what you would do?
Pretty solid. Pretty solid. Yeah, I think this is a fair top 5. I don't think that I would make any changes to this right now.
Okay, so I think Timberwolves have been playing better than the Clippers as of late. So I would probably go Clippers 5, Timberwolves 4, but that's pretty minor change, you know?
Yeah.
Mo?
It's solid. Love I mean, it? Ew, bro. Yeah, Clippers have this. I thought I was in the principal's office for a second.
Right? Get the government name out there.
Flashbacks.
Yeah. Y'all, we have 557 likes on this account right now. I'm on the stream. 1,000 of you are in here. Let's run this up.
That's a damn shame, bro. Oh my goodness, we're only at 550. Did we fall off?
I know, because Mo told me before the stream started. He was like, "Listen, I have a good feeling about this, and if we get to 1,000 likes like we did last time, then I would thug shake." He told us that before.
Mo's dying to thug shake. He wants y'all to let him.
He really is. And it just sucks because nobody's gonna see that, right? Because you guys don't care enough about us to like this.
He told us he has recoil.
Okay. Whoa.
That's insane.
Why would you let that come out of your mouth? Like, bro, Isaac, why are you talking about me having recoil?
Listen, man, we're going to react to guys' hot takes pretty soon. We're finishing up these news stories. We're going to get to it. We got to be at 800 likes by the time we get there. I think y'all can do it. And Kevin Gulicki just donated another $45. He said, "Look, I started donating because I love your content. I'm determined to be the king of TD3 donations." My guy, you are already there. You are the undisputed king. I know you got Will Ayer going band for band with you. I think you got the crown right now.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie. Kevin, the next time we have a live show next year, I don't know when it'll be, you better be there, and you better be throwing them bands up in stage too, my boy. Then I'll thug shake him.
The fucking thug shaking on a live show was ridiculous.
No, that would be the most suspect scene ever. And,
we got two more stories to talk about before we get to hot takes. Spencer Haywood, former Seattle Supersonics legend, said, "Me and Kevin Durant are still talking about Seattle. There's some sneaky stuff going on that I can't talk about because it's private, but I wouldn't be surprised if I see him in a Sonics uniform again." Interesting, because the worst kept secret in the league right now is that Seattle will be getting an expansion in the next 2 years or so once they get to doing that after the TV rights deal. Would you all want to see Kevin Durant go back to that team?
Of course. Old man KD? What who fan would not want to see that, bro?
Bro, stay somewhere. Please, finish your career somewhere. Stop moving. Stay, you're a busybody. Stay where you're at.
Busybody.
Well, I mean, if he did this, I imagine it would be as like a retirement home thing.
It would be cool.
Me personally, if I want to see him in his retirement home stage, it's probably like a cool 17 points per game, which is insane for him. I want to see him go back to OKC. Let's solidify. If you're going to do what you've been doing, be consistent to, I want to be on the best team possible, go ahead and join OKC. It makes sense.
Just more ring chasing?
Hell yeah. End it right.
Now, going him in Seattle would be cool. Obviously, if it's an expansion team, they're not going to be fucking winning a championship year one or two or anything like that. But if he somehow managed to win a championship as like a 39-year-old with Seattle team I drafted him, that would save his fucking legacy.
He might be fucking top 10 if he did that, bro. He would skyrocket and change the entire narrative. Well, 100%. Not change the narrative about him, but make it seem a lot better about him, bro.
The most fun fan fiction I could think of for like any star players. Like that would be the funniest or coolest outcome. Donovan's over there grimacing. He just doesn't like to think of anything good happening to Kevin Durant's life.
It's just never going to happen.
Obviously not. Anyways, cool, one more story before hot takes, y'all. We're almost there. Almost at the hot takes. This is another Gilbert Arenas thing. This one isn't so ridiculous, though, so we're not going to be slandering him this time. On the nightcap, he said he doesn't think that LeBron will get a statue in a Lakers uniform because he doesn't have enough accolades. Do y'all agree?
Facts.
I do.
Easy. That's easy. If LeBron won like an MVP there, regular season MVP, and like a championship, which he already has, then it's like, okay, you have a little bit more legitimacy for it. But he hasn't done that. He has broken records, of course, Kareem's, and then he, you know what I'm saying, only player in NBA history to hit 40K. It's nice, but for Lakers standards, you got to have some like multiple trophies.
Yeah, they got a lot of players to hardware over there.
Exactly.
I agree. And I think for somebody who came to the Lakers in like the second half of their career, it means a little bit different. If LeBron was able to do this maybe 5-6 years ago, or I guess we've already been like 5-6 years into the Lakers tenure. So if he was able to do this about 10 years ago, it would probably feel a little bit different, but this feels like the end of LeBron's career, feels like his retirement chapter. And a lot of the records that he's broken they're not Lakers records or anything like that. They are these all-time NBA records, and it's more about LeBron and his place in the NBA.
He's made the most threes in Lakers history, though. That's a Lakers record he broke.
Has he really?
I believe so. Fact check me if I'm wrong, but I genuinely believe he hit the most threes in Lakers history. Think about, like, Lakers sharp shooters. That makes sense. You don't think of any, bro.
No, LeBron's been a shooter since he got there. That makes sense to me.
Yeah, Derek Fisher, like, there's not many at all.
I don't know. Kobe played for 20 years. Kobe probably has it, right?
He does not have it.
Oh. Okay, I'm looking this up.
Look up how many threes Kobe hit. Anyways, yeah, that's the last thing we got there. Y'all, it is time for hot takes. Chat, I'm going to spam.
Wait, real quick. But before we get there, Mo, you're a liar. A liar. Because LeBron is not the all-time leader. It's Kobe Bryant. And LeBron doesn't even have more threes than Derek Fisher.
Whoa. I guess I'm a liar then. How many threes does LeBron have?
LeBron is third. LeBron has 765 threes. Mm. Kobe Bryant is first, and Kobe has 1,827 threes.
Oh, he's not fucking breaking that. Yeah, no. LeBron's top 10, though, right?
He's third in Lakers history.
Damn. Okay, well, he's third. That's good. Anyways.
All right, chat. Let's resume. Chat, it's a time for what y'all came here for. Enough talking about Lakers threes. Who gives a flying fuck? We have 936 of y'all in here right now, 672 likes, and it is time to get to y'all's hot takes. I made a tweet earlier today telling y'all to put your hot takes here, and we're going to get to them. I'm going to go through a bunch of those, and then we're going to look at one straight from chat. For each one we get from Twitter, I want y'all to spam W or L take every time, because we're either going to tell people they know ball, or we're going to flame them. Either one.
Let's go ahead and do it. I'm ready to tell people their IQ.
Shout out to JRM37. He has 3 $1 donations. He's going crazy. Appreciate y'all. NJ took $1. Said Cam Thomas is a top 10 scorer. Incorrect, but I appreciate your love for him. And Momo tipped $4.50. Said, I need proof, Mo. I need to see the ballistics.
Ballistics. Okay, that conversation is past time. Let's move forward.
And shout out to Nadoc for $1. First hot take of the day. Ballistics. Donovan Mitchell is a top 10 player and better than Devin Booker.
How are y'all feeling? I've been so back and forth on this conversation, and I think for the most part, almost every single year of Devin Booker's career, he's been better than Donovan Mitchell. But this year has been the closest that it's ever been, I feel like, because of the playmaking leap that Donovan Mitchell has made compared to Devin Booker always having that a part of his game, or at least over the last like three years. So, man, that's tough.
It's an L take. Listen, D-Book is playing with KD. He's not asked to do as much. He's the point guard, basically, and has to set other people up. So he's just not having the crazy scoring numbers he once did. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell is carrying an injured team and having to put the team on his motherfucking back. So he's obviously in the news for playing above where he was doing last year. It's just a matter of perception there. We all know Devin Booker is still the better player, I think.
Yeah, I think it's easy to discredit Booker because, I mean, a lot of people don't like him for some reason, whether it be the double team thing back in 2018 or whatever, or just like how he talks trash and people think he's a front runner. But I still think, I think it's close. This is the most it's ever been of a competition between those two.
But I still might lean competition for sure. I just think D-Book's a better passer and he's a better defender. While they're both obviously elite scorers, you can decide who you think is better there. I'm a lean D-Book, but it is close. It's like the 11th versus the 14th best player in the league, right? So you're in the same stratosphere either way.
Yeah.
Roger Federals said Trae Young plus Wemby would be a top 2 duo in the league.
That's facts. That's facts. Who's the best duo in the league right now? Jokic and Jamal Murray, bro.
Yep.
If you have someone who can be the best player in the NBA alongside, I guess Jamal Murray can turn into like a top 15 to 10 player whenever he's at his peak too. But Trae Young.
Jamal Murray is a fucking Hall of Fame player.
Jamal Murray. He's like top 15. It doesn't make sense to me, bro. I'm sorry. I don't make the rules, but that is what he is.
We thought Giannis and Dame would be this unbeatable duo. Trae and Wemby might be that. Nobody's falling off an age cliff anytime soon with these two.
Relax. So he's not even on the team. God damn.
Listen.
We're just saying what would happen.
Yeah, right? It's theoretical.
You guys know what you're doing. You hurt my feelings.
I'm seeing a lot of W takes in the chat. They like this one. Donovan, where you sit?
I agree with this. Top two, yes.
Yeah, maybe Jason Tatum and Jaylen deserve to be above them. at first with all the winning they do. Sure.
Let's be honest. No, no.
I mean, Jason Tatum's a top 7 player. And Jaylen Brown isn't as good as Trae Young, but it's not a crazy leap there. If they deserve it, but top 3 isn't bad.
The synergy between
the
two.
If they lose in the playoffs, I cannot give them top 2 duo in the league.
Well, we'll see what happens, right? I don't know. Many people think they won't lose in the playoffs, so maybe we have to give it to them for now. Next one. Tanny, this is one of our Discord mods. Shout out, Tanny. He keeps the Discord. Helps keep the Discord afloat because I do not be looking at that. He says, Luka Doncic will not win MVP in his career because Jokic is here to stay, and then Wemby will dominate until Luka falls out of his prime. What a scary thought for Luka Doncic. He might just be victim to the two best bigs we're ever going to see in our lifetime, and he'll never win an MVP.
He's getting one. Luka's
going to surpass Jokic at a certain time frame, either because people are going to be like just straight up tired of Jokic for whatever reason. And I think eventually the time will come when the Mavs go ahead and have their run. If the Mavericks had this roster construction right now, I think they're like, along with the Clippers, OKC, and the Minnesota Timberwolves in terms of standings. But they surrounded Luka with poo-poo platter. So, you know what I'm saying? I think Luka's time will come, just not this year.
I think he'll win it as soon as he leaves the Mavs in 4 years or whatever it may be. When he's like, well, he was 25 now. When he's like 29, peak of his prime, he leaves to join another team and finally has a great team around him. They run to a one seed and do whatever when he finally has like real talent. He's going to get one at least.
He's getting one in his career. I promise you that.
If he leaves the Mavs, bro, that'll be one of the most hilarious things, and that we need to do a case study. We need to do a case study of each and every single move they made.
His roster is so bad around him that we threw a fucking parade when he got the backup center from the Wizards and the draft bus power forward from the Charlotte Hornets. We were like, yes, go, yes, talent. Great. These aren't stars.
He doesn't need much.
These aren't even high-level players.
Yeah, that's a testament to how great he is and also how shitty things have been around him, bro.
Yeah.
Like, Dwight Powell. I'm being
reductive. They're better than that. But
I understand, for sure.
PJ Washington isn't fantastic, right? There's a reason he's not on the Hornets.
Yeah, no, and like, also at the same time, it's kind of like when you take a step back from those trades and look at what they gave up for PJ Washington, it's like, ooh, shit. It's another pick out the window.
We'll see.
Yikes.
It's good for now. We'll see how it ages.
No combos yet.
If the Nuggets win the championship, Jokic is a top 5 center of all time.
Okay, off the top. Stamp it. Off the top. It's in no order. Shaq, Russell, Kareem, Hakeem, Wilt.
I love Bill Russell more than anybody on this planet.
I don't think that's true.
I'm sure I'm not. Whatever you want to believe it. What do you want to believe? I just can't put him in that top 5 conversation. Over Jokic. I just can't do it.
The question is, will he pass Hakeem? Hakeem's probably the 5th best center right now.
Why are you disrespecting the, like, 4th best center on that list?
I'm not disrespecting him. Maybe
even 3rd.
I'm not disrespecting him at all. He's probably number 5, right? You name 4 of the people. He's 5, which is no slight. Do you think Jokic will pass Hakeem? Whatever. Do you think he'll pass Bill Russell? Do you think he'll pass Bill Russell or Hakeem for 4 and 5?
Russell or Will. What are we talking about?
Oh, my God. Whatever. Do you think he'll pass that group of players and get into that?
What are we doing? I'm just not going to sit here and let you just disrespect Hakeem like that.
But how would I disrespect?
You say like Hakeem is his big homie. He know him for real.
I know. It's glazing.
The guy.
He'll be in that realm though, right? Well, chat. What do y'all think? WRL chat. What did you say?
I said Hakeem still. He's still, you know, in the city. He's still active. He's still moving around
like he's moving weight. Damn.
Chat. I want to see what y'all think for this one. In the meantime, I got some donos. Shout out to Mr. Rawl Shark 27 said, Isaac, don't ever disrespect Chicago Bulls legend Daniel Gaffer like that again. Dude, Jason Kidd's fucking an awful coach. He needs to figure out how to play him because he's been so inconsistent with his use of him. JRM 37 tipped $3. He actually donated like 5 in total because he spanned up in random donations. Appreciate you. And Momo tipped another $4.50. Appreciate y'all.
Shout out to you guys, man. You've really shown out today. Love to see it.
Wemby will be a top 8 player next season, and at some point in his career, he will average 30, 10, 5, and 5. And I assume that last 5 is blocks.
I can't get to 5 blocks unless the defensive rule changed in the NBA and he can stay in the paint forever, then sure. I absolutely can think that's possible. Top 8, though, I'm with that. I'm with that. That's deep, but I'm with that.
By the end of next season. So, listen, same thing we did with the last conversation with All-NBA. If we're going to talk about this, we got to talk about who else is in there. Projecting next season, Jokic, Embiid, Giannis are going nowhere. Shea, Jason Tatum going nowhere. Curry, Luka. Do you think he'll still be? Oh, Luka, 6. That's top 6 is solidified. Curry, KD, and LeBron. Do you think those three are still going to be at this level to come next year?
Let me tell you something.
Should we take LeBron out to be safe?
We're not talking top 8.
Oh, my God.
We're not talking top 8. We're talking top 5.
We're
talking top 5 with this guy. By the end of next season, and I'm not gonna stand on it right now, but if we're gonna make a leap like this and say he's going to be top 10, let's take it a step further, right? Let's be bold.
We're talking he's not top, five. Top 5. I'm not going that far.
We're talking top 5. I think that one, at some time in his career, like Mo said, because it does look like the NBA is going to go towards changing some of these rules. And if they do allow the 7'5" dude with the 8-foot wingspan to just stand in the paint and just do this for 48 minutes, yeah, he got it. 30, 10, and 5 is like, mark that. That's solidified.
Now, he can be top 10 for sure. 5 is a little hard to imagine because we have those 3 MVP candidate bigs plus Shea and Luka. Those guys aren't going anywhere. Unless you're going to think that he's going to be as good as MVP Joel Embiid, who is on pace for the greatest scoring season in modern NBA history, while also being an elite defender. Unless you think he's going to walk into that year too. Hard to project that right away, you know? Like, I'll give him another year before I go that far.
What if I think that?
Oh, great.
What if I believe that about Victor Wembanyama?
I believe he'll be there when he's 22.
Then what? Now what are we talking about?
He's going to pull up a gun, then what? Basketball, man. What the fuck?
Do your dips.
How dare you? He said, I see you. I said, hey, go ahead.
That's hilarious. Yeah, but no, he'll be. I could see by the end of next season him pushing top 10, just like Luka did at the end of year 2. You know, he made All-NBA first team in year 2. I could see a similar trajectory for Wemby. I'm not gonna go out. I'm not gonna go crazy with top 10. I'm top 5.
You could talk.
I'll go top 8 though.
I can see top 8. Here's a good one. I'd rather have Rudy Gobert on my team 9 out of 10 times over DeMontis Sabonis. Fucking W take. Easy W. How do y'all feel?
Why did you bookmark this? This is
exactly.
You, right here.
You just wanted to hate on Sabonis.
You wanted to get it off.
Real easy. Chop it up. W take.
Now, let me break this down real simple for the crowd.
How much am I paying them?
The same. Minimum wage for both of them.
The same. Yeah. I think about what team will give me the highest ceiling. Rudy Gobert, he can easily make my team the best defensive team in the NBA with me doing little to no, like, help. I have to be just barely competent. With Sabonis, I have to give him some real offensive threats and real firepower. Even with that, I don't think he can lead me to a top 5 offense. Well, actually, we did kind of see him do it last year.
No, he can.
But at the same time, what gives me the higher ceiling? I'm leaning towards that defense for sure.
Yeah. Rudy Gobert can be part of a good offense. It's almost impossible to imagine DeMontis Sabonis being a part of a good defense because of how important a center is in your defensive structure. There's very little players of his archetype who are bad rim defenders, have no vertical, that can be a part of a good defense. The only one we really see do it is Nikola Jokic, because he's the greatest offensive big man we've seen in the past 50 years, and he's an underrated defender. He has size on him, which is a big difference in what Sabonis has. Last year he was weirdly listed at like 7'1", which was the biggest blow to horseshit I've ever seen in my fucking life. That man is 6'10 with a long wingspan, no verticality at the rim, zero ability to contest at the rim, no foot speed to do anything on switches in the perimeter. He will never be part of a high-level defense. You can etch that into stone. You can't say that about Rudy Gobert on offense. He can be a part of something good. He has been.
This man hates Sabonis.
Damn. I hate Sabonis fans, bro. They're so fucking dumb. They're ridiculous.
When you're in like fifth grade, God damn.
Sabonis fans annoy me so much.
He was like, fuck you, kid. Get your own jersey.
This guy said, Sears the captain said, the Suns aren't going to make it through the first round.
All right, let me pull up the standings. Right now, in the first round, they would play the Minnesota Timberwolves. Hey, they could beat them. They could beat them. if everybody's Damn. Healthy, they could beat Minnesota.
Ooh, upset alert.
Yeah.
Damn. I would say the Suns, it's not a lock for sure. It's definitely not a lock. And I wouldn't be as sure as in confidence. Now, they do have Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, who are, on most occasions, usually the best players on the court. But it's has to do with what you have past that, especially in the playoffs. So I could agree with this to a certain degree. This is a W take. This is a bold take. This is a hot take, and it hit it on the money. This is a W take for sure.
I agree. W take. I think they're getting first rounded. I think it's a shame that a team that has Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker isn't seen as like a clear Western Conference Finals contender. Like, I think it goes to show how shit the roster is outside of that. How, you know, no, we talked about the Thunder having the rebounding issues and how Jusuf Nurkić hung up fucking 30 rebounds on them. They're not a good rebounding team either. Like, I'm pretty sure last time I checked, they're also bottom 10 in rebounding, defensively and offensively. They're not a good defensive team at the rim. They're not good at not committing turnovers at fourth quarter offense. Like, everything outside of ISO scoring with those three guys, they struggle with. It's kind of crazy, honestly.
It is. Let's talk about nuts. Getting buckets, though.
Right? The game's about a bucket.
Right? I think that they have the ability to beat Minnesota in the first round. I don't think it's as clear cut as they are 100% getting knocked out in the first round. I think that they can push them. I think that if they played the Clippers, they could potentially make it interesting. If they played the Nuggets, they're getting swept.
Yeah.
They would get destroyed.
Yeah.
And then if they played the Thunder, they'd lose in what, five? Maybe six if Book goes crazy.
Yeah, they go six. Kevin Durant's Kevin Durant, right? Like, they'd make it interesting. I think they'll make all these series interesting. The Nuggets will blow their back out, but outside of that, I think they'd make it all interesting. They'd probably go six or seven games off the strength of KD being a goon and Devin Booker being Devin Booker. Hard to imagine them winning up in the Big Seven, though. I mean, the Game Seven.
Matt Ishbia is going to be so fucking mad and just, like, insanely. He's going to be so disappointed, bro.
So poor Matt Ishbia.
Yeah.
Shout out to Born Muse. Kendrick Born Muse is crazy, by the way. He said that Celtics won't lose a game in the playoffs. Do you see the Celtics running the table?
Sorry, buddy. This is dumb. This is dumb. This is actually stupid. Yeah, they're going to lose a game. They are not one of the greatest teams of all time.
Who does he think they are? They're not. I understand they're elite this season, and in terms of just like consistency, they've been the most consistent team throughout the entirety of the regular season, you know. But they aren't like 2018 Warriors, 2017 Warriors level of just like, how the fuck do you stop this team? Like, Jason Tatum is great, Jaylen Brown, you know what I'm saying? He's improved, of course. And no one's really talking about that. But regardless of the fact, like, they're not unbeatable, absolutely.
Yeah. Because we know they're such a heavy three-point shooting team that they're going to have cold nights. We all know this is well documented. There is going to be some cold nights where they give up a game here or two in the series. Will there be that many that it becomes, like, a tough series? Maybe not. But they have too much variance in their game to actually go without losing a single one.
Yeah, I agree. Like, it's just not going to slide. It's just not going to slide.
Lucas 5742-3009 said OKC is a first round exit.
I don't even want to address this because of how long his username is. That's just annoying. I don't want to deal with this. Next.
Yeah. That's all right. Sorry, Lucas. That's a disgusting take. Shave some numbers off.
No, it's also a bad take. Also a bad take.
True.
Owned by Lucas 77. Lovely. No bias here. Says Lucas should be the MVP this season, and all of us should agree on that. Honestly.
Oh, really? That's what you think, owned by Luka? You think Luka would be MVP? Okay.
Surprise, surprise. Chad, let us know what you think of that. In the meantime, I'm going to read some donos. Kevin Galicki has tipped another $10. He said, hot take, Tatum is the most complete player in the NBA. Nobody is better than him at everything. Incorrect, but I appreciate your love for your hometown team. Marco tipped
Kevin,
$1.
Go Pack. Go Pack, Kevin.
Yes.
I know you haven't packed.
You said, I got a bound in the background, man. Leave me alone.
Marco tipped $1. Would you rather have Bam or Sabonis on your team? Bam.
Oh, Bam easy. 100%. Bam easy. He's someone who's even more complete than Rudy Gobert on the offensive end and on the defensive end, considering what he can do on the perimeter at a much better rate, for sure.
Kevin Glicky tipped another $5 before that. Appreciate you. IMN tipped $1. He said the 2024 draft is going to be deeper than people think, kind of like 2022. Probably. All these weak drafts are always better than people think because of all the role players and stuff.
Sure. Nice take. Okay.
I also don't know shit about the 2024 draft yet, so I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, no. Expectations are low, so.
So like I said, is Luka your MVP?
No.
You can talk a lot of people into it. It makes me sick. I can see the case.
It's not crazy at all.
Yeah.
All I'll say is the next episode of the Isaac Gutierrez Show coming out this Thursday is titled "Luka Doncic Has Mastered Offense." So
okay, Isaac, you said it's coming out this fucking Thursday. Last time it did not.
Me? Yes, it did.
Ground Eaters, you were late.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, you were. What time did you upload?
I said it was Thursday. Same time as always.
It wasn't the head same time. You were a minute late. You were a couple of minutes late. I'm going to hold you to that.
I just wasn't. Kevin Glicky donated another $20. I'm going to start calling him Kevin. It's a mouthful. He said, brother, I am packed and ready to go. First class flying, staying at the Four Seasons over water bungalow for 10 nights. This guy's just rich as fuck. 10 nights?
He's lit.
Chat, I don't know how many of y'all are adults and how many of y'all have paid to go on vacations. 10 nights is ridiculous at the Four Seasons. This man just dropped 10 bands.
The overwater bungalows, I've looked into those, right? This stuff is ridiculous, but I've looked into it for 5 nights. 10 nights is crazy. Man, this guy is ridiculous.
I need y'all to watch the stream, subscribe, so I can get as rich as Kevin Galicki. That's my goal in life right now.
Exactly, bro. When I grow up, I want to be like Kevin Galicki in this bitch. God damn.
I feel like I might be saying his name wrong. That'd be hilarious, but I'm just going to run with it. W from Curry says, the Magic are making it to the second round. Do you guys think the Magic are going to win their first round series?
Considering that right now they would play the Cleveland Cavaliers. No. Probably not.
That's a good matchup for them because they do like
– those games
on paper it doesn't sound like it, but they do match up well whenever they do face off against them, but it's going to be like a – 6-game max series.
Nobody is scoring over 85 points a game in that series.
That'd be nasty.
79-78. Real basketball. It's
gonna be gross.
Shout out to the Orlando Magic. Yeah, I don't see them making out of the first round. Good season, though.
Orlando Magic.
Orlando Magic.
Sing the song!
Oh, Brick Muse is back.
Oh, Orlando Magic.
I think someone in the chat said Brick Muse is back and he's doubling down.
No way. Oh, the Kanye tweet
was the most recent one.
What do you say? Oh, my gosh.
Can y'all hear the audio when I play that?
I can't.
No.
He says, I'm not going to say, you know I can't say that. Yeah, fuck this guy. That's hilarious. That's the end of all the TikTok ones. Now it's time for chat hot takes. Chat, this is what you all been here for. Spam it up in the chat right now what your hot takes are. We're going to react to them. First one I see, if Damian Lillard, I don't even know what he's saying. Point Zion and Wemby are going to be teammates in the next 2 to 4 years. I doubt it, but that'd be sick.
That'll be absolutely disgusting, bro. Oh my goodness.
How do you defend that? What's the personnel you need to defend Victor Wembanyama and Zion from a physical standpoint? Who matches up with them?
Crowbars.
AA-12s with prayer. A switch.
AA-12s.
Yeah.
We need the fire bullets from Black Ops. Yeah. Dragon breath. Fucking claymores.
I wish I got
these jokes. Betty.
I wish I got these jokes.
No, I don't play. I'm just in here.
I don't even know if Mo plays Call of Duty. I'm probably just talking in the chat. Hot take.
Most just laughing.
Facts. No, he's a good podcaster. Hot take.
Exactly. I know content.
He knows how to entertain. Hot take. Nobody should want the number one spot in the West. It's going to be the hardest road. I don't know about hardest road, but I see your point. Because right now, coming out of the plane, we got the Mavs, Lakers, and Warriors. I wouldn't particularly want to play any of those guys in the first round. What do y'all think? Would you want the number one seed if you're in the team?
I can agree. I can agree that to some extent. Obviously, it depends on what team you are, unless you're the Denver Nuggets. But like, if I'm a team and the team that if I was in the West, the team that I would love to face in the first round the most are either like the Pelicans or exactly. the Kings.
Yeah, so, 3 and 4 are going to face those two teams probably. I mean, having home court in the conference finals means a lot, especially if you're the Nuggets, who have the ultimate home court advantage. But I would much rather dust off the Kings or Pelicans than have to deal with Curry or LeBron.
Yeah, dealing with Curry or LeBron is real. That's real streaky right there. That's
let alone Luka Doncic.
Yeah, no, that terrifies me. That's a good hot take. Let's get that W take. Let's get that W take.
No, it's not. It's a bad take.
No, in terms of having the hardest road, it's not hardest road.
We don't even know who's going to be there. Like, you should go out and win as many games as possible and do what you have to do. Because right now, 6 and 7 have the same record, right? The Mavs are a game back of them. All of them are going to be in the play-in, and you might try to get 2-3 because you don't want to play, you know, the Lakers. They might not make it into the playoffs. And now you get to play somebody else. Either way, you're going to have to play somebody hard. The West is hard. Win games. And, like, that's it.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to have to beat good teams. You want home court advantage every time, especially in the conference finals. Denver's home court advantage is ridiculous. If they have home court advantage for every playoff series, they're never going to fucking lose as long as they're healthy. Big difference in not having that and having it.
Yeah, that is very true. I mean, the altitude is genuinely a difference. So that team specifically, based off of where they're at, fucking helps like a motherfucker, bro. Yeah. I got a good hot take. So URR says Kawhi would be top 10 all time if his knees weren't made out of Play-Doh.
Top 10 all time? I don't know about that. But he would be pretty high if he never had to deal with any of that stuff.
That is very interesting.
I'm going to go L take on that. But I see the logic. I see where he's going with it.
He would have to win at least one regular season MVP to win top 10. At least one. And I don't know if he's the type of player to have that in him.
Well, if his knees weren't gone, then maybe, you know, like, he actually plays games. He doesn't do the load management stuff. It could be in the cards.
Man. I guess so.
We got some donation hot takes. I forgot. I got to read the hot takes from the donos because, you know, to pay for first advantage. Nick7 tipped $1. He said, hot take, the only team that would guaranteed beat the Lakers in a 7-game series in the West, if fully healthy, is the Nuggets. Maybe the Clippers. LeBron and AD are generally the two best players on the court. The team has experience, depth, and defense. So basically he's saying the Nuggets will beat the shit out of them, maybe the Clippers, but outside of that, the Lakers would stomp everybody else. Do you think the Lakers would beat the Clippers? I mean, beat the Thunder and Timberwolves?
Not at all.
Me neither.
They were able to make the run that they did last year because Rui Hachimura was like, I'm just not going to miss from three, right? And I'm just going to be an elite three-point shooter. And that's not happening again. Right? they are not going to have the shooting necessary to go far in these playoffs. And they would probably lose to every team outside of the Golden State Warriors in a playoff series.
Okay, relax. They'd beat the fuck out of the Pelicans and the Kings.
I'll give you the Kings because I don't trust them. The Pelicans, maybe.
They'd beat the fuck out of the Pelicans.
Maybe.
I think they'd win in 5 or 6. I think because LeBron's obviously can go try hard like he did in the conference in the in season tournament. They would beat the Pelicans with ease.
He can't do it anymore.
He can do it for one series. I don't know about four though.
If it's like the I don't know, because this Pelicans team versus that Pelicans team is very different because often nature Zion just is better in general. But it's a lot different. That Zion compared to this Zion, it's different.
It was 2 months ago, not 2 years ago.
Yeah, he's cutting hard right now. That's what it is. The diet is different right now, bro. He is stupidly locked in. So I'm like, I don't know. 13 pounds a day.
Shout out to Nick7 for tipping $1. Shout out to Marcelo17 for tipping $2. Shout out to Kevin Galicki for another $10. Carlos for $3. Kyrie's left shoe for $3. Love the name. And Colocho for $3, who said, hot take, the NBA is the most boring of the big four sports. My God, you're talking about baseball and hockey. Get the fuck out of my face.
Hey, whoa, no. Listen, I'm not even going to lie. Hockey's kind of lit.
I'm sure it is.
It is kind of lit.
But the only thing about hockey that I'm like, bro, be kind of insane if they added this in the NBA is starting random is like the referees don't call, they don't get into like the technicalities of the game. They just let people scrap whenever there's a, like a major disagreement. That's hard as hell.
I think some hockey fans like hate that. I think people are like trying to like phase it out of the game.
Really?
Yeah, it's like antiquated. Like, why are we doing violence?
Personally, it's new to me, and I've been, obviously I'm a fucking NBA fan most of the time whenever I'm watching sports. So I sit there and I wonder what Jose Alvarado would really do to the most random NBA player.
Jose Alvarado and Chris Paul. Jose Alvarado pulls his pants up. He's got his elbow up to guard his face, other hand back here. I've seen people look just like him fight all the time. That's how it always is. Elbows pointy as shit.
Go ahead. Sewell Jr. says LeBron is winning another ring before he retires.
Laughable.
That was ridiculous. Oh, dude, that's crazy. They're probably gonna win. He's probably gonna win another one before the Knicks do.
Oh shit!
The only way he won is if he came to the Knicks.
The only way, the only way the Knicks win one is if they get LeBron or KD or something.
He's not winning another one.
They've been begging for scraps for decades.
Yeah, that's been a fight here for 15 years. That's crazy.
They finally have a healthy LeBron and AD. Can't even make the playoffs.
I wish I could say the Knicks finally had a healthy something, but there's nothing like high level enough to like, oh, they have that.
Yeah,
the Knicks are just the Knicks.
You guys are fighting for your lives. Come on.
To get to the same point the Knicks are going to get in their best case scenario.
Holding on to stuff that happened 5 years ago.
If only the Knicks had something to hold on to. 1996 was sick.
Your best guy can't stay healthy for 2 years straight.
Matthew tipped $10. Appreciate you. He said Draymond will get a second home in the penalty box.
Oh my god.
Kyrie's left shoe said $1. Tipped $1. Said hot take. Jason Kidd should have stayed a top 10 point guard of all time instead of a coach. Correct. He is atrocious at his job.
Ugh. I guess the only thing that the biggest like thing accomplishment that this dude has had on his resume as a head coach is like, hey, yo, I made Giannis a point guard and I put the ball in his hands for like 60 games or whatever it is. Congratulations. No one cares and remembers.
And Kevin tipped another $15. He said, hot take, the Knicks are going to get first rounded.
That would be a disappointment. That would be a major disappointment.
Right now they play the 76ers. Listen, we'll see what Joel Embiid looks like if he comes back at all. I imagine he probably won't be 100% even if he makes it back. If he was 100%, that would be spooky. Mm. But
Langston
hard to imagine.
Langston Four says, Mo, how do you feel after getting out of the hood? It's not a hot take, but I'll answer the question regardless of the fact. Feel good. Feel wonderful. Days are beautiful. No rats running around the ground at all. I just see beautiful people in D.C. But at the same time, I'm stressed because I don't want to go back. So these donuts better be hidden. The lights on the goddamn screen better be hidden. So it's all good, but I don't want to go back.
He's taking the chemo out the hood phone quite literally.
Yeah, no, quite literally, bro.
You're funding his psyche, his peace of mind.
I paid rent for the first time like 2-3 days ago, bro. This shit is crazy.
for the first time in DC, yeah.
Yeah, it's disgusting, bro.
Someone said, hot take, Luka is the best player in the NBA. No, because you need team success to get that label. But I do think he's good enough to be the best player in the NBA. It's just you got to see in the playoffs, obviously. But I think in terms of skill, he's on the same level with those other top three guys, all those big men that we all know are always in the conversation.
Yeah, one for one, I think that's a fair conversation. Easy, for sure.
Donovan?
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, my gosh.
Momo tipped $1. His hot take is, prime John Wall is better than prime D Rose. Not really prime, but the best form of D-Rose, you know, before he got hurt. And I say that as a big D-Rose fan. I said, also cut me off. I'm going to go broke. Got to ban you from the dono button. Prime John Wall is better than D-Rose. I don't think so, man. I don't think I can go there.
I can understand it because the playmaking, which is like a real difference back then, and also the defense is crazy as well. So if you're looking at it from that aspect, fair. But the vibes and the aura is immaculate, one to none, bro. Top MVP D Rose has top 5 aura ever. Fuck you. I don't care what you think. That's fucking factual.
let me be an old head real quick. Let me, let me explain to you guys exactly what prime MVP Derrick Rose was, right? Even in the league that wasn't based around offense, you had Derrick Rose with Joakim Noah, Lou Alding, a young Taj Gibson, right? Not a lot of offense. And Derrick Rose, in the first year of Miami getting this big three, and they say not one, not two, not three, not four. They tell the league that they're going to win 8 championships. And Derrick Rose says, no, I'm going to win 66 games on your watch. I'm going to have the number one seed, right? We are going to have an amazing defense. I'm going to be the most athletic point guard we've ever seen.
You made it sound like D-Rose beat them in the playoffs.
Oh, no, listen, they got 4-1. It was crazy.
Damn.
But what Derrick was doing, this is ridiculous. Some people, when they get sad, they go into their room. They like to put on Marvin's Room. I put on old Derrick Rose highlights when I get, right, when I'm in that mood. Because seeing the talent that was robbed from us is dastardly. It's terrible.
Mm. You know what's funny? You're an old head. At this point, you're an old head for saying Marvin's Room. I don't think anybody in our chat is out here listening to Marvin's Room.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the sad song is.
Yeah, man, talking about.
I haven't been sad in a long time also. So
their version of Marvin's Room is Lucid Dreams by Juice WRLD, I think.
Hey, R.I.P.
Well, I think that actually might be the version of Marvin's Room. That's crazy. That's what a different generation.
I've already seen the memes about it too.
Someone said, I'm 14. I love Marvin's Room. There you go, man. You went back and listened to the classics.
Oh, my goodness. Look at you.
You were 2 when that came out, but it's a classic for you.
A real one.
Actually, you might have been 1. Yeah. You might have been 1 year old. Isn't that crazy?
Ooh, okay.
I was in 7th grade.
That's fucking crazy, bro. We're getting washed for real. Jeez.
Somebody said they bumped Marvin's Room a couple weeks ago. Listen, only real music is going to last, okay? you got to understand that. You got to understand it.
Donovan, when you're a real old head, you're going to be insufferable, dog.
He already is a real old head.
You didn't get the reference, and it's okay.
The rest of that shit is here today and gone tomorrow.
That was hard.
All right, what's the next hot take, Mo? You find one.
I got a hot take. Jay's Alum says, hot take, if the Spurs don't get better, Wemby is leaving and running away to the sunset with Luka and winning a chip. Spurs fans would be on watch if they did that, bro.
Wemby's not leaving for 7 years.
Can't happen.
Understand that.
He's a rookie. We don't need to be talking about him leaving. This is ESPN brain rot.
He's locked up.
Can't happen, won't happen. It's impossible. It's destiny, bro. He's going to be a Spur for 20 years.
Momo tipped $1. He said, a girl said Marvin's Room is a perfect song for me. Is it over for me? My guy, you are cooked.
Woo!
Well done. On the grill, skewered, filet mignon, cooked.
That's all wraps, buddy. That's all wraps.
I feel like we should play into the fact of our families being so young. We should like do some kind of segment around it.
Yeah, no,
we gotta do that.
I gotta think about how to do that, but some kind of Q&A would be hilarious.
That is funny as hell, bro.
Yeah, man. I think that's all the hot takes we got today. I think we're done.
Yeah. Chat, congratulations. You got us to around, let's call it 800 likes, 749 short. But we call it congratulations, W stream. What must you say?
Some said hot take, Mo's beard is better than Isaac's. We're having a beard off now. They're going to rank the chat beards.
Ranking the chat beards is crazy. I'm not going to lie. I'm being 100% honest. I generally have the weakest beard here, genetically.
Genetically?
Yeah, my dad let me down, bro.
Tough. Well, that's the end of the stream. Chat, I guess while we're closing this off, go ahead and comment who has the best beard. We're out of here.
See y'all.